Welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL, our Saints mini camp wrap-up coverage continuing, awaiting on Teron Armstead and Mark Ingram this hour. New Saints, newly named Saints Hall of Famers. I can't say inducted into the Hall of Fame yet.
No, but made the announcement.
So it is official.
And for Armstead, for me, now, you know, I'm old, so, but he was one of the, not the first, but back in the day, as we old people say, you know, Arkansas Pine Bluff,
right?
You know, that was a bigger deal back then. Now it's not a big deal, but back then, some of these smaller schools to go in and get an offensive lineman, you could get the cornerback and wide receivers and stuff, but to go in and get an offensive lineman, that was a big deal.
Yeah, and I think Mickey last year, because we've talked to Teron recently, and we hear from Teron a lot because he does the show on YouTube. But I remember Mickey saying, like, they were actually kind of annoyed when they saw him run the 40 at the combine and like, break the record for fastest 40. Because it was like, oh, man, everyone's going to know about him
best
now.
Kept secret.
Like, we did all the work to find him, and now everyone's going to find it.
Well, guys, joining us on the line now, one of the most physically dominant left tackles to ever wear the black and gold, a four-time Pro Bowler, a pillar of some of the greatest offenses we've seen in NFL history, and a newly minted member of the Saints Hall of Fame, Teron Armstead, on the line. Teron, thanks for joining us, man. How does it feel, Saints Hall of Famer now, attached to your name?
Feels great. Truly an honor. I have to correct, five-time Pro Bowler. I ain't
sorry.
Gonna take that fifth one away from me. I'm gonna claim that.
even though two were in Miami, we're gonna give it to you. We love you.
We're in Miami. Yeah. I see what you were doing.
Nah, I'm just teasing.
All good, but no, it's truly an honor. I was speaking earlier at the press conference. Just blessed. So much gratitude, appreciation to be not only a Hall of Famer, but New Orleans Saints Hall of Famer, going in with my brother Mark Ingram as well, all that we did, all the snaps we had together. So just it's special, truly special.
Teron, I don't know if you were listening in when we were first starting, before you came on. So I was a sports anchor and, you know, in old school, been around a long time in this city. And so, you know, drafted in the third round of 2013 from Arkansas Pine Bluff, which is, you know, it was a bigger deal back then than it is now, right? I mean, being in a small school like that, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. It was a challenge getting out of Pine Bluff, getting the eyes, getting the attention, getting them to watch my film. And then the quality of film, honestly, was an issue. Like, I made my own highlight tape using Dell video editor, and it was fuzzy. So then the Saints watched it, and the other teams watched it, and it was hard to see. But the combine was like a really big deal for me to garner that attention and get the scouts to be, all right, let's check out this guy. Let's see what he actually has as a football player.
You know, Teron, you know, 2018 notwithstanding, obviously we all know what happened to end that season. You know, as you kind of get more distance and you look back at that run from 2017 through 2020, where y'all won the most games in the NFL over that span, which, you know, is a remarkable thing to be able to say about any era of football. Does anything kind of stand out to you as you look back at particularly those offenses and what made those teams so not just successful, but consistently successful at such a high level?
I mean, Drew Brees. if I really wanted to just...
That's a good answer.
You know, be direct on an answer. Drew Brees. He was the standard. He brought everybody else up. He brought everybody else along. You had a chance to win every game. Like, honestly, it didn't matter. He's done things with a defense that was ranked 32nd in the NFL, and he broke records in that year and won more games than he should have. So Drew was always just a key and a piece that could swing a game regardless of what else is going on. It's interesting, guys. I was talking to Mickey Loomis today about the 2011 versus the 2018 mm-hmm. team. And I won't tell you right now who he felt like was the better team. But out of those two teams, we collectively feel like those were the best two teams the Saints had talent-wise, roster-wise. So just stacked top to bottom, both squads.
And sometimes people will throw 2013 in there, right? I mean, it was a pretty impressive team. And I think when you look at both of those years, 11 especially, And from an offensive line standpoint, you guys were running the football. I've always said when this team is at its best, and Drew is the king, but they were able to run the football.
No question. No question. The run game was paramount. Even when Drew was leading the league in passing, and doing all these great things, they directly relate. They directly affect each other. So the times when Drew was most efficient and he had his years with all these touchdowns but minimal interceptions was very clearly and easily our best seasons running the football. We're able to open up more opportunities in the pass game when they got to bring more people in the box. Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram just pounding the rock. What we're doing up front on the O-line, you got to bring in more bodies. And when you do that, now you're at the mercy of the quarterback.
Teron, you looking at some of the amazing runs you went on with this squad, and you talked about resilience today in your press conference. For you, was there a game or a moment that you could really say best defines that resilience, the Saints' resiliency for you?
Man, we had a ton. We had major comebacks. We came back against Washington one game where we getting smacked the entire game. And all of a sudden, fourth quarter and nothing was going our way at first, nothing. And just went and took over. And I think that was like around the time people started to see Alvin Kamara as who he is and what he truly became to be. The Minnesota Miracle game, we were getting tore up, smacked up and down the field, left and right. Minnesota Vikings, that defense, we couldn't do nothing. Down 20 points. Probably the best game Drew Brees ever played. He went insane. We fought all the way back. Unfortunately, we know how it ended. But just to have that fight, that resilience in the playoffs, to make that comeback, the defense locked in, and it was a great back and forth. So going back and watching that game was great. But it shows that resilience, that ability to respond to adversity for sure.
Got to see an old friend today, Cam Jordan. It's got to be, you played a long time. And it's hard on both sides of the line, but to see that cat come back for year 16, has a new hairdo. He's got a new one every year, so you never know with Cam. But he looks great, right? It's just we don't probably give it the just due that it deserves to be in his 16th year.
It's Hall of Fame. It's his gold jacket. It's elite. And then if you look at Cam, or you've seen Cam throughout the years, he would be the one that you would pick to be still playing at this point and playing at the level that he's playing. 10.5 sacks last year, year 15. It's different. It's different. He is, though. He's special. The energy that he has, the love for the game is just – and he loves the drama and the suspense of all this.
Cam?
And
no.
We were talking about, oh, man. He was driving me crazy. Keep calling and talking about the free agency and all that. Dude, you're not a free agent. You are stalling. Let's sign a contract. So we've been going back and forth for the night. I was probably one more call away from not answering for the dude, but finally got the deal done. He's back in New Orleans, and it's all is right. All is right in the world.
Yeah, and I really have enjoyed listening to your interviews with Alvin this offseason with Cam on your show. It's called The Set. It's on YouTube. Everyone go check it out. Seriously, it's great stuff. I really do appreciate it because a lot of times guys get into the media space and it feels like everyone's competing to be as loud as possible, to get as much attention as possible. And when I watch your show, it's very much just a conversation and it's just very real. And I really do appreciate that.
Means a lot. It does. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem at all. One thing that you've talked about on the show, you worked with Kelvin Banks this offseason. First, what are your impressions of Kelvin? What did you work with him on? And why is it so important for you to kind of work with the kind of new era of offensive linemen?
First KB, he's special. And Tally as well. Both of those tackles are special talents, special young men. Their mind is in the right place. Physically, they can do everything. They're just in a position now where they're learning and honing their craft and perfecting their craft and technique. So much excitement for both of these guys and their future. KB and Tally can do it. They can be the top dogs in the NFL. They really can. And it's a lot that goes into it. But as the stars align, the offense playing well, Tyler Shuck being able to move the ball and get the ball out quickly, to be able to run the ball effectively, and then them stay healthy. Like, those pieces have to coexist, but these two are special. Elite talents, elite prospects, and they are doing everything that they're supposed to be doing to reach their maximum potential. And for me, playing 12 years, but playing through so many injuries, having so many experiences, having to reinvent myself in order to not only stay in NFL, but to succeed and play at a high level and be known as one of the best tacklers in the league, I had to reinvent myself time and time again. So just that experience, I love to be able to share and talk to guys where they are, and not coach everyone to be me, a quick athletic tackle. No, I had to change how I play so many different times. So it's more ways to win. And I love the grind of it. I love seeing people being able to tap in and maximize their potential. I hate to see wasted talent. It really bothers me. I can't even be friends with someone like that. So any guys that I'm working with, they're working. And they're trying to be the best version of themselves. And that's all I ask.
That's like the line in Bronx Tale, Teron. The saddest thing in life is wasted talent.
No question. Okay, I can't do it.
You finished out your playing career in Miami, retired now, but you said today the Saints will always be me. What is it about this franchise, the fan base, that it just seems like the players never really, that are here, they never really leave? Even when they do put on another jersey?
It's something deeper than the sport. Like, New Orleans is a very unique place. I don't think there's no other place in the world like it. And it's a city and organization that if you give it love, it gives it back 10 times, 100 times. Like, the love and appreciation I get just walking through the airport or at a restaurant or just – it's insane. And, like, it's genuine. And it's like a family type of interaction every time. Like, I'll see people and they'll call me T-Stead or T, or like we grew up together. I've never seen this person a day in my life. I love it. I'm telling you, I love it. It's just so authentic and real, that Southern hospitality. But this is where I became who I am and went from a boy to a man and built my lineage, my legacy, and all those things. So, forever. And I appreciate Miami. I love Miami to death. And I represent the Dolphins with my chest out and head held high. I will always represent those colors as well. But there's no question I'm a Saint. I was here 9 years, been through a lot of battles, a lot of wins, a lot of losses. There's no question about it.
Well, Teron, we'll let you go. But I want to clear up one thing before, because we're going to be talking to him at some point. And that is, Cam kind of made it sound like y'all were calling him. Everybody was calling him every other day. Alvin wouldn't leave him alone, and T-Stead wouldn't leave him alone. He was calling you.
I called him a few times, especially early on. Early on in the process, when he was making it seem like he was going to pack bags and all these things, I'm calling like, hold on, what you doing? Early on, but after talking to him two times, I knew where his heart was. I knew where his family was. I knew where. So I'm like, all right, it's really a done deal. You want to drag this thing for rape.
It worked. I love it. It worked. Yeah, I'm glad it's over. And like he said, in the end, I'm going to be back in my crib. So it all worked out.
For sure.
Great job.
An all-pro, five-time Pro Bowler, and now new member of the Saints Hall of Fame, Teron Armstead. Thank you so much for joining us here on WWL Saints Radio.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
T-Stead in the house, now going into the Saints Hall of Fame. Enjoyed that interview with him.